quick, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21. We're going to look at three scriptures that we looked at last week, and then we're going to go on further. Two in 2 Corinthians, and one's going to be in Colossians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. We've got to remember what the gospel is today. What the good news is today. What the issue for our salvation is today. What we rejoice in. Something that this dispensation has. Something that we count on. And we can remember in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1, just stay where you're at in 2 Corinthians, but just real quick, the gospel is today for our salvation. The Apostle Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." This is what you believe. It's what you've received. You stand in it. It's what you believed in the first place. While we don't have to lean forward or backward, whether we can lose it or whether we can gain it, that it's taken care of. And it's where we need to stand in that confidence, because it's not our own confidence. It's in the confidence of what Christ did. And that's why we know today that when it comes to our salvation, it isn't something we get and don't get, and get back and don't get. What a yo-yo experience. What a way to live out an emotional roller coaster. How would you like to go to bed every night wondering if it really took? Have you ever heard that comment? Well, I just hope it took. I heard comments before in the Baptist church, sitting in a pew, doesn't matter which one, but I can remember somebody that had an issue with their emotions. They would go to the altar every single week, okay? And the person beside me would say, "I just hope it took, brother." What a sad, sad position to think that you're in, or to think that somebody else is in. When the issue is we stand in the confidence of the good news, the gospel of Christ, where we never have to worry about losing our salvation. Right? And the Apostle Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." It's not you're saved right now, and hold on to it or not. You know, it's not that issue. It's set. It says, "If ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain." You know, the issue is, if you remember what I preached unto you, and you trust in that fact, unless you never trusted it to begin with, not the fact that everybody knows Jesus died on the cross, but that you trust in the fact that it saved your soul. Unless you just believed it in vain. There's a lot of people that believe, okay? But the issue is in verse 3, he says, "For I delivered unto you," he's reminding them what it was that he preached unto them. He says, "For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." That's the gospel. "And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 21, where we'll just give more proof of this, the Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 5, 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Sin's not the issue then, is it? The good news is that he died for your sins. It's plural. In chapter 19, just back up a couple of verses. "To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation." So you know what? The reason people believe they can lose their salvation, what I hear of, and Paul made mention of a while ago, a lot of people think it's their sin. It's how they're performing in this life. Whether they're bad or not. Well, let me tell you, if they ever break that mission to you, just tell them, you're bad whether you ask for forgiveness or not. You'll never be good enough. Right? It's not the issue, it's their sin-filled life. Thank God it's not the issue. I'd be wasting my time up here right now if it was based on how I perform. Because I can promise you, just because I'm behind here and I've studied what I'm going to teach today, I perform terribly. And I know that. But I know one thing. I trust in the gospel of Christ and what He did to save my soul. And my sins are not the issue. And I don't have one issue of worrying about losing my salvation. No matter what anybody tells me, it doesn't matter. You can't take it away from me because you're not the one who gave it to me. Right? That's something to rejoice in today, to look at ourselves and who we are. And just like Hank's talking about where Willis is and where she's come from, everything we've come from is the sin of the world. Every bit of it, I'm telling you, just chase your roots back. If you think you're that good, you'll find out how nasty where you came from. Because there's something there every time. And you'll bring it on to your children and their children and their children. That's why they need to know that Christ is the reason they're saved. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Colossians 2:13 we read last week. Says, "And you, being dead in your sins..." Don't lose the fact that your sins is what made you dead now. To know that you needed a Redeemer. That you needed a Savior. It says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Okay, so we know. We have confidence in the fact by what the Scriptures, according to the Scriptures, that sin is not the issue. Now let's go back to where we were last week in Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll finish this out in chapter 1. Look at verse 13. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. The Word of God says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." One thing to remember is what? Ye were sealed. Christ did it. In the moment that you believe, that you believe in the fact that everything that Christ did, that He forgave you of your sins, the good news, the gospel of your salvation, ye were sealed. It was a sealment, okay? Look at verse 14. "Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." Well, who or what is the purchased possession? Now look at these two verses again. Verse 13 and 14 together. "In whom ye," that's you, "also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth." Not believing in vain now. "Ye heard the word of truth." The gospel, the good news of your salvation. "In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory." Well, you are the purchased possession. Okay? If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, look at that verse in 1 Corinthians. Hold your place here and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. When we talk of this purchased possession. One thing we never need to forget about, if we believe we lose our salvation, we cheapen the grace of God in what He did and the work that He did. It's not a matter of just saying, "Well, I trust in it," and that's what it takes for your salvation. But it's important that we remember where we came from and what Christ did in order to save you and for you to be sealed. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says, "For ye are bought with a price." There was an earnest, there was a purchased possession. He says, "For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." In chapter 7:23 says, "Ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men." Okay, so therefore, there we can see through this now, when we understand this gospel of grace, and knowing that Christ has forgiven us for our sins, all of them, by the way, okay, that we know we still have this flesh on. We still walk with this flesh, okay? But we also know by reading this that there is a life inside this body that is different than what you see in this flesh. Right? There is a life inside of your body. The flesh that we see, where's it going to go? It's going back to the dust. Okay? But inside this dust, this inside this body, this earth suit is what a lot of people call it, is a new man or a new creature. Right? When we are saved, we are sealed unto the day of redemption. We're sealed. You don't lose it. It's what the Holy Spirit did. What does the earnest in verse 14 mean? Look at verse 14, chapter 1, verse 14, back to Ephesians. My hope is when we are through with this study, there's one thing that you know, no matter what you are on the outside or what goes on in your life or the mess-ups that you have or where you came from or whatever's going on, one thing can't be taken away is if you are saved, it can't be lost. You can rejoice in the fact of knowing. You don't have to worry about it unless it's the way you believed in the first place. Look at verse 14 in Ephesians. "Which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." Now, what does this word earnest mean in verse 14? If anybody ever heard of, and I didn't hear of this until I bought a house, I always just called it putting money down or a deposit. But when you buy a house, one of the old terms is earnest money. Okay? Is how I always heard it. Okay? When you buy a house, your down payment is known as earnest money. It says that you're serious about buying that house, doesn't it? Or you better be if you put that money down. If you change your mind, what happens? You lose that money. Right? When we finished last week, I made the comment is, if you're saved, how can you lose that salvation? You can't lose it. Okay? The guarantee of our salvation is the what? It's the seal of the Spirit. Okay? So to become unsaved, the seal would have to be broken, wouldn't it? The only way that you can become unsaved is that seal of the Holy Spirit would have to be broken, right? It could only be broken by the one who made the payment, couldn't it? If I put earnest money down on something, say for a house, and Kevin came along, he couldn't break that seal, could he? He couldn't change anything that I have done, could he? Well, neither can you. It's been done by the Holy Spirit. It's set. You can't change it. It is what it is. Right? It is what it is. It can only be broken by the one who made the payment. So in other words, he would have to go back on what he had guaranteed. Right? Now God said He sealed us. Right? The seal is the earnest expectation, ain't it? So God would have to go back at all that took place to save us and say, "I got bad news, I've changed my mind." Is that not crazy? We're talking about a holy, righteous God. See, the problem today, I believe, is that people think of salvation pertaining to them instead of pertaining to the Lord. I think that's the biggest issue today with people thinking they can come in and out of their salvation. People today think that their salvation pertains to them. Like it's something they can do about it afterwards. I mean, honestly, it's
what they do, and it's their performance, and how hard they work at it. And, well, you know what? I'm going to turn over a new leaf, or I'm going to change my life. And they go through all these commitments. Have you ever thought about that word commitment? It's about as selfish as you can get. I'm going to commit my something you're going to do. It's a lot different than the word surrender, as far as there ain't nothing I can do about it. I just trust in my Christ. Totally different. I mean, if you go back and you follow, I think it was the 50s. I can't remember who wrote about it, but we always heard, I always heard growing up in the 70s and 80s, commit your life to Jesus. Commit your life to Jesus. I always heard, do you want to recommit your life to Jesus? You know, you go back in the 50s and they said that word was never heard. It was never brought about committing your life. And you know how things just get larger and larger on the scale of things about you. About you, what you do with your salvation. Does that make sense? That commitment is wrong. You can't do anything about it. When you're saved, you're sealed.
It's not something you come in and out of. The only part you have is believing and receiving the gift. That's what it is. Best example I can give when it comes to salvation is something I heard a long time ago. And believe it or not, I think, you know, as much as I used to love his books and things like that and how they would move me emotionally, there was one story he told that he got right. It was Max Lucado told a story about salvation. And Dr. Lee, he and I are on different ends of the world, I believe, but he got this story right. He made a comment about, it's as if this fact of when you think you can lose and gain your salvation back and forth, he said it's a gift that was given to you. It's as if we're in a lunch line and we're going through the, you know, you might know how to think of food. We're going through the cafeteria and you're picking what you want, okay, and you get to the end of the line and you get ready to pay for your food. And the person that is collecting your money says, don't worry about it, it's already paid. And you say, well, it doesn't matter, I'm going to pay you. It doesn't matter whether you pay or whether you perform or what you do. Is it still already paid for? Regardless what you do about it, it is paid for. Now, you can walk off and rejoice in the fact that you didn't have to pay for it and that somebody paid for it for you. Or you can sit there and argue with the person that says, you don't need to pay me, and you can stick it in their drawer, or you can do whatever, or say, well, then I'm going to do something for this person, or whatever. But the issue is, no matter what you do or don't do, it was paid for already. Right? Well, that's the way it is with your salvation. When you trust in the fact that Christ paid for it, the gospel of your salvation, the good news today is the fact that He has paid for your sins. And you trust in the fact of what He did on the cross to save you. Amen? That's it. Now, you can jump through all the hoops you want to jump through. It doesn't add a thing to your salvation. Because it was a gift that was given. Okay? I mean, to me, that's the best example that I can think of that just made more sense to me than anything when I read it one day. So it's a gift. Okay? If you don't take it, if you decide, well, I'm not taking that gift, it's still a gift, isn't it? It doesn't take away the fact that it was a gift. Okay? You can try to pay for it, but it was already paid. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, it says, For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. So then to be unsaved, God would have to revoke the guarantee, and He would also have to do what? He'd have to take the gift back, wouldn't He? Right? And the reason people believe they can lose their salvation is because what they believe brought about their salvation in the first place. So if you run across somebody that believes that somebody can lose their salvation. You ever notice, I never heard anybody say that they lost their salvation. I've always heard them say that somebody else lost.
Somebody else could lose their salvation. You never hear them say it. Like, well, I've lost my salvation. Have you ever heard anybody do that? No. It's always that, yeah, I believe somebody can lose their salvation.
And they never talk about it being their self. That means they can do it too. And the problem is what they thought brought about their salvation in the first place.
Because it's faithful, it's there.
When you trust in it, you can't. You won't lose it. In other words, if salvation is making a decision to follow Jesus, then you can decide to not follow Him, can't you? If your salvation is based on you deciding to follow Jesus, then can you decide to not follow Him? Absolutely you can. That's not salvation. That's what somebody may believe in the first place. The fact is, we know that by grace we're saved. That Christ forgave us of our sins. And that it was a gift. And you either take it, okay? It's already paid, it's already given. You trust in that fact, and nothing else adds to your salvation, right? And so that's important. That gives us a fact to rejoice in, to know that I ain't got a hold on my salvation. Christ does. Thank God, because I would sure blow it. See, salvation is not a decision to follow Jesus. Now, all my life I was brought up that it was a decision to follow Jesus. Salvation is a decision to receive the gift. Once it's received, it's yours. You can, and here's another thing about your salvation and your gift. You can do whatever you want with it, but it's still your gift. You know what a lot of people? They're doing whatever they want with it. That's sad, isn't it? Knowing that inside us is Christ and how we're to live. Will God ever take it back? Absolutely not. God will not lie. He isn't unholy or unjust. He's righteous in all His dealings with man. Right? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Just another good example, I believe, in what we're talking about. I always heard somebody, well, you just believe that, like you ain't got to do nothing. You just think you can do whatever you want to. You're absolutely right. Sure can. But I don't want to. See, that's the difference. That's a different conversation than gaining or losing your salvation. And that's different. So don't think I'm being flippant about your salvation. I'm not trying to be like, hey, July 4th, that's just living up. You know, this is, you know, it's, I'm not trying to have that kind of attitude. But you can. It won't do one thing about the gift that you receive, will it? Not one thing. There's a lot of people today that have problems in their life that if we look on them on the outside with our eyes, we think, man, there ain't no way on earth they're saved. And I guarantee you, there's some that are as saved as can be. Let me tell you what, there's a lot today that sit in every pew in the church, and they're there every week and every Sunday and every Wednesday. They're in the top of the organization of every group. Believe it, I got there a lot of times. Okay? And there's a lot like that are working. And I'm going to tell you what, they're going to go straight to hell when they die. Because they never received the gift. They believed in vain. And it's what brought about, what they thought brought about their salvation in the first place. And they're missing the joy of not having to do anything about it, but just trust who they are and what Christ did for them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, it says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one spirit. Now, many people today believe that's a water baptism. This doesn't mention water at all. It's about being baptized by the Holy Spirit, being sealed, that earnest money has been paid for, and being sealed to the day of our redemption, right? But I thought about, you know, the Spirit performs a baptism. He performs it, not us, okay? But this isn't water at all, but I thought about many today that believe they're saved and then they believe they get baptized or believe they believe their baptism fulfills their salvation. Okay? But if this was water, could you be baptized and then be unbaptized? When it comes to your salvation, you can't get, once you're wet, you're wet. You can't say, okay, I'm here this morning to be unbaptized. Doesn't work, does it? But there's many today that go through this ritual and think they can lose their salvation. They believe wrong to begin with, but then believe even more wrong, I guess, the second part. If you were ever water baptized, which I was, I could never change the fact that it happened, could I? Just another example of how silly we become when it comes to our performance, thinking we're saved over things that are wrong. If you can't believe it's done with water, then do you believe you could lose your salvation by the Spirit? Absolutely not. Let me tell you, this morning I rejoice in the fact that I know who I am. I know where I came from. I know absolutely what I needed to save me. And it's everything that Christ did. And nothing that I did. Now, there was years ago, I really added a lot to my salvation. I call that ignorance. I never really believed that I could lose it, as many do. But let me tell you what, I rest in the fact today of knowing that earnest money was paid, that purchase price was paid, that I was bought and purchased. And I trust in the fact of what Christ did on the cross for my salvation. And no matter what I do about it, or how my outcome is through this life and this outside, I know one thing for sure. You cannot take the fact that I'm saved away. Ever. Ever. I believe if I was the only sinner on this earth, I believe Christ would have died for me. I believe if you were the only sinner on this world, He would have died plainly for you. And that's the issue we talked about last week. It's not the matter, do you believe He died for everybody? The issue is, do you believe He died for you? That's how we ended last week. Well, I do. I do. And if you're somebody that struggles thinking that you can lose your salvation, I would say it's because what brought about your salvation in the first place. And you really need to check on that to know what you really trust in. Because it'll change your life if you trust it wrongly. And it'll make you rejoice if you see how you trusted to begin with.